with news, commentary, controversy, and information about officiating high school sports, this is Officiating Oklahoma. Now here's your host, Jason Seichel.
Hey, it's Jason coming at you again. I haven't done an episode in a while and actually didn't realize that it's been a few years, but I had some guys hitting me up saying, hey, we haven't heard anything on the podcast for a while. Can you continue that? We loved hearing about rule changes and specific sports and, you know, everything that you've been through and news and that kind of stuff. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and start this up. I'm going to try and make this a regular thing, do it once a week. Figured 52 episodes a year would be pretty good if I can get them done, and then that's unless you guys get tired of hearing me. I know my wife tells me every day she gets kind of tired of hearing my voice. Anyway, that's a different subject. Today we're going to talk about the 2022 rule changes in National Federation football. For some of y'all that don't realize that, National Federation is the governing body for high school football in most states. Like the major ones I can think of is like Texas. They, I can't remember the rules. It's college. It's either NCAA or NAIA or something. But then they've got exceptions thrown in there, which makes it almost identical to National Federation. So I don't know why they don't just get on board with that. Anyway, the 2022 rule changes this year, there's, I believe, seven of them. Hold on, let me get this pulled up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's seven of them. I'm going to talk about six of them. The one that I'm not going to talk about is the team boxes have been extended. Used to, they went from the 25-yard line to the 25-yard line. This year, they're allowing for states that adopt this, they can extend the team box beyond the 25-yard line. Now, what I'm reading right now was published in February of this year, and all it says, the team box can be extended beyond the 25-yard line. Doesn't say how far it can go, whether it goes to the end line, the goal line, parking lot, whatever. It just doesn't say. Anyway, the first one we'll talk about is Rule 133, this talks about where the ball may be changed between downs. The change this year, or this season, is going to be that any game official may order the ball be changed between downs. In the past, it was limited to the referee. I know on my crew, I would tell the guys, say, hey, if at any point during the game, especially if it's raining, you think that that ball is not acceptable to be played with, go ahead and swap it out. Get a dry football in. If it was raining during the game, like, you know, light rain or mist or whatever, I just say, hey, you know, just swap that thing out whenever you think it's ready. If there was a, you know, fairly medium, you know, rain, I'd say, hey, every chance you get, change that thing out, whether it be every other play or whatever, get the driest thing in there. That way, you know, they've got the best opportunity they can of, you know, maintaining control of that football. Now, what we need to understand here is it says that any game official may order the ball be changed between downs. That still does not give the coach the right or a player the right to come in and swap out footballs whenever they please. We all know, you hear the players and coaches say something about how, you know, it'll be 4th and 8 at their own 23, and they come out, and the kicker comes running out on the field, and he's got a kicking ball. He'll toss it to you. You look at him, and you say, what's this for? And he said, oh, it's a kicking ball. Well, you know automatically there's no such thing as a kicking ball. There's either a legal football or an illegal football. If the one that's still in there is perfectly fine to play with, and they bring that kicking ball out, throw it the heck out. We don't need to be swapping footballs out, changing, and all that stuff just to prolong the game. And, you know, and plus the other thing is if there's no such thing as a kicking ball, they don't have to have that. If that kid is so specific that he has to kick that certain football, well, then they need to get it out there and play with it all the time. And, you know, another time, you know, kickers are weird about their footballs. Sometimes they'll like to overinflate them. They really mash in the noses of them to get the center of the ball, I guess, bulged out to get a little more of that trampoline effect when they kick it. You know, a lot of times you'll have a kickoff. Here they come out on the field, they bring that football, and you can almost see your reflection because that pebble-like texture is gone from the ball, and it's smooth as can be. Puts it at the other team at a disadvantage. And then here's the argument of that, people will say. Well, if he's just kicking a field goal, you know, what does it matter? Well, here's the thing, is a field goal is also is a scrimmage kick. It's similar to a punt. So say he kicks that field goal, goes almost straight up in the air, the wind knocks it down, and a person on the defense catches the ball in the air at the 2-yard line. They can return that. It's just like a punt. So why put that team at a disadvantage and make them use a ball that's, you know, slick, all because the offense wanted a special football? So in that situation, yes, one team can be put at a disadvantage. So you make them use the correct football. They come out there, they go and want to change the footballs, throw it out. Okay. This now, the rule change is going to help us to where you don't have to, I guess, technically ask for permission. As a referee on my crew, I had a standing order with those guys, would say, hey, if you think that ball has become illegal through play, swap it out. You have to read the same book as I do. You understand that. If a coach asks to swap out a football, ask him why. And if he says, you know, to kick with or blah, 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 or whatever, no, coach, can't do that. But if it's something different, say, they threw a pass and went out of bounds. It hit the corner of the track where there's concrete and it scuffed the ball severely or tore the leather on it or whatever, and he wants to change it. By all means, yes, change it out. But we don't change footballs every other play. It stays in there until it becomes illegal through play, and then you get it out. I know in between, or not in between, early in games, before the game starts, you go and you have your talk with your coaches and you check the footballs to make sure they're illegal. Once you leave and get away from those footballs can become illegal, okay? In the past, we would have the umpire go and check with the referee if the balls were legal or illegal, and they would put a mark on it, and it would signify that the ball was legal. Go back into the locker room, you tell them, say, hey, if it's got this mark on it, that ball is legal for play. We don't do that anymore. We've stopped that. If your crew still does that, I would encourage you to stop doing it. I make a mark on a football, leave, we've had it happen, the ball boy will look, that's the mark they're accepting, and he will go and make that mark on illegal footballs to use. It slows down the process. What we've done is we'll take a Sharpie with us, and if at any point we find a football that is illegal and there is no way possible that that ball can become legal, whether it's, say, it's slick, it doesn't have that pebble-like texture on it, that ball will never become legal again. If through the course of use or damage or whatever's happened to it, that ball will never become legal. So we'll take that Sharpie and we'll write somewhere on that football the letters N-O, no. That means that ball is never allowed on the field. Next thing we're going to jump on to is Rule 143. The number 0 is now legal to wear. I don't understand it. The number 0, and this is the thing I never understood, is why isn't it illegal, or why isn't it legal? I mean, the rule books always said the numbers shall be clearly visible and legible using Arabic numbers 1 through 99. And shall be on the front and back of jerseys. Never tells you why the number 0 can't be used. So I guess that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad they all got together and talked about this and decided to make the number 0 legal for some reason. I mean, you never saw it. I mean, because everybody knew that number was illegal. You'd see it and little kid sports and stuff where they'd wear the number 0. When I was a kid, I don't understand why anybody would want to wear 0. I mean, used to, 0 meant that you were nothing. It was no value. It was nothing. Maybe that was why it was illegal. So, yay, this year the kids can wear number 0, and I'm so happy for them. The big one that I'm going to talk about I don't understand why this was changed. I read a press release about it, and it still makes absolutely no sense. The rule is 238, and it redefines a chop block. A chop block has been redefined as an illegal combination block where contact is made above and below the waist. So they've moved it. So if anyone is listening to this, that it's a player or a coach, you now have an option, a legal way to chop block. Okay, in the past, the rule read, a chop block is a combination block by two or more teammates against an opponent other than the runner, with or without delay, where one of the blocks is low, meaning at the knee or below, and one of the blocks is high, above the knee. Okay, let me get to this real quick. So used to in the past, you couldn't hit them below the knee and above the knee, whether at the same time or alternating. Let's see. Okay, the alteration of rule 238 addressed a new definition of a chop block, which is now described as a combination block by two or more teammates against an opponent other than the runner with or without the delay, where one block is below the waist and one of the blocks is above the waist. Previously, the defensive player's knee was used to determine the high and low components of a chop block. Very dangerous situation. Say you got somebody hitting you on the low side of your knee, below your knee at your calf on the outside, and then you have an opponent hit you in the thigh on the inside. Man, I can see something down there, a knee getting torn up. Okay, now you can do that. That is perfectly legal. You can hit somebody on the outside part of their calf and then have another player hit the inside part of their thigh above and below their knee at same time or, you know, at alternating times, and that is legal now. You can do that. You can take someone's knee out and not be penalized for it. This says here that this is going to strengthen the rule, and it is also going to help game officials. I think they're going to be able to enforce this rule better than they have in the past, because determining below the knee and above the knee is tough to do. I think it's really going to improve the game. And that says here, that was a quote from McRyder. It doesn't say here. Richard McRyder, he is the chair of the NFHS Football Rules Committee and assistant executive director of the Tennessee Secondary Schools Athletic Association. In other words, what this boils down to is that he believes putting kids in a dangerous situation where you could potentially rip their knee apart is a great thing for the game. That's the way I interpret it. So, now this year, if you have a chop block, someone gets hit below the knee and above the knee, that's perfectly legal. Let them take their knees out all day long. There's nothing you can do about it. But if they hit them in the thigh, you know, one player hits one in the thigh and then the other one hits a player in the chest, you have a chop block. Yeah, I'm just as baffled by it as you are. You know, say you get hit in the thigh on your right side and you get hit in your rib cage on the left side. Your core, your upper part of your body is a lot stronger than that knee joint. And I can see, you know, how someone can go through that and have a lower, you know, relative opportunity to be injured from that. Somebody getting hit on below their knee on the right side and above their knee on the left side, I cannot see how that's going to improve the game. And it's not difficult to call. I don't know why they think that this is going to make the game better and easier. Chop blocks are easy to call. They're not something difficult. You know, one of the philosophies we were told is that if you had two come in and that one was at or above the knee and the other second one was at or above the knee, you went ahead and flagged it because one of them has got to be low, unless it's just completely obvious that they're both high or they're both low. You know, you'd let it go. But I don't understand it. They've done some crazy things in the past, rule changes, and seems like whenever they make rule change, it always takes them 2 to 3, sometimes 4 years before they finally figure out that what they've done is completely asinine. So I'm going to assume that by next season or the season after that, they will have this fixed and they will be getting kids out of dangerous situations. You know, they talk about how the NFL is a show. It's entertainment. That's all people care about. And as you go down to the collegiate level, yes, there's entertainment. There's a lot of money involved in it. And when you get down into high school level, the entertainment value goes by the wayside. They don't care about that. What's most important is the player's safety. Well, with this rule change they've done this year, player safety has gone completely out the window. Don't know why they chose to do this. Somebody, I don't know, can give me a better reason than it's going to make it easier for the officials to officiate that. If that's your reasoning behind it and it has nothing to do with the safety of the kids, then you by no means need to be implementing or talking to anybody about rule changes. So if I'm you guys, we're going to have to look into this further. I mean, I don't know what you can do, how you can protect the kids, because that's going to be a huge safety concern. So if you guys are looking through here, you're hearing my podcast and you've got some questions, you can comment on my videos, whether it's, through Apple or whatever. But if you go on Anchor.fm/officiating OK, you can leave messages on there that I can actually hear, and you can give suggestions. You can say, hey, well, what if, by this rule, we can, help the safety of the kid and all that. And we can discuss that and we can talk about this. If you have any questions, you can hit me up on anything. Or if you completely think I'm just a fool and don't need to be on here, you can tell me that too. I like to listen to those too. They're quite comical. But anyway, we're coming up on 18-20 minutes of me talking and all that good stuff, and I figured I can give you guys a break for the day. Make sure you go on to your whatever favorite podcast you like to listen to. Leave me a review. Tell me how good I'm doing. I always like those reviews. I think on Apple Podcast, I've got 20 or 30 reviews, and they're all 4 or 5 star reviews, and I appreciate that. Show the love. Anyway, I'm going to get off here. You guys enjoy your day. This is Jason again with Officiating Oklahoma.
Thanks for listening to Officiating Oklahoma, hosted by 20-year veteran sports official Jason Seichel. Please visit our website at officiatingok.com and be sure to join us soon for another episode of Officiating Oklahoma.